Let's go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Mark 14, verses 3 through 9. And the title of the message is At the Feet of Jesus. Just to give you a background before we get into the verses, they are at Bethany. Verse 3 says, In the house of Simon the leper. Bethany is a place that Jesus visited often. It was not too far outside of Jerusalem, just a few miles. Bethany is the home of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. I think we're all familiar with that, John chapter 11. Jesus was loved there. And it could be that's why he visited there and stayed there as often as he did. People there loved him. And maybe we think about that as a church. Do we love Jesus? Do we want Jesus here with us? I think we do. Do we love Jesus? Verse 3, And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. The name Simon here, understand, is a popular name during that day. There's Simon the Pharisee, there's Simon Peter, and here Simon the leper. So there are many Simons. That's why it's important to find out what Simon is being talked about. No sense of being confused. But this evening, we're not going to look at Simon. We're looking at a lady here who's not named, though we know who she is, and we'll get there in a little bit. But often, when you see her in the Scriptures, she is found at the feet of Jesus. You'll find many people in the Bible at the feet of Jesus. Some are there asking for mercy. Others were there on behalf of someone else, and others there simply because they loved Jesus. Either way, it's a good place to be at the feet of Jesus. I want to give you kind of a visual picture here of what's taking place. There's a table. They are reclining. They are to sit, or that the Bible says he sat at meat. They're reclining down, not like the tables that you and I have in our houses where we sit up straight in the chair. And, you know, when you slump over your mom or your dad, or especially your grandma, pow, get up, sit up straight in the chair. That's not how they would eat during these times. They would do more of a lounging where you could actually pull your feet up under you or beside you or put them down, however it was. But you would lounge. Or maybe on one side, and eat like that off the table. So picture Jesus lounging at the table. His feet hanging off the end. Much going on. Much talking. Joyful eating. The women would be busy going back and forth doing the serving. Again, much hustle and bustle going on. There's a lady here named Martha, and y'all know what Martha's really about, don't y'all? She's known for her much serving, being busy. And it's good to be busy. And look, we're all different, aren't we? But Martha is going 90 miles an hour. She knows that Jesus is there, and she wants to do, and she wants to be busy for Him. Well, she's not taking the time to spend with him. She's too busy with the service of the Savior to spend time with the Savior. She's saved, but just too busy. Mark this down. When you are too busy for the Lord, you are too busy. And that kind of hurts. It's at home. One of the problems with that is if we're not careful, we'll end up getting frustrated. And that pressure gets to us and we'll just want to throw in the towel. Quit. That is tough. How do you know that? Seen it many times. But amongst all this hustle and bustle, there's a woman that's doing things different. There's a woman there who wants to be with Jesus. This woman who is pouring this ointment on the head of Jesus is believed to be Mary of Bethany, the sister Martha, and I believe it is. She came with an alabaster box, the Bible says here in verse 3, of ointment and spikenard. An alabaster box is a perfume vase or box. It is easily broken, so you must keep it with care. The vase itself may not be worth very much, but what's on the inside is. Very expensive. Very valuable. The Bible says that it is very precious. According to management customs, it is worth about a year's salary. Toya and I was talking about this. My wife Toya. Can you imagine having something in your home that's worth your year's salary? For some of y'all, that may be a lot of money. For some of us, not that much in the eyes of different people. But in your eyes and my eyes, personally, no matter what it is, if it's your year's salary, that's a lot of money for you, isn't it? It's a lot of money. I believe, personally, that she did not go out and buy this when Jesus came into town. I don't think she went out and took a loan to get it. This, again, this was me. I believe she had been saving up her whole life for this precious ointment. When did she get it? I don't know when she got it, but she didn't, again, take a loan out. She'd been saving up her whole life. It was precious to her. Probably the most expensive thing in her home. And I'm not preaching, teaching about money, okay? Sacrificial service. Look what she did. She broke the box and poured it where? On his head. She didn't come in tooting her own horn, did she? I actually have points tonight. I don't usually have points. Point number one is silent love. This silent love spoke loudly to all who were there in that room. And is still speaking loudly today to us. Do you see where she said anything? Nope. She simply came in without saying a word. Break the box and poured it on the head of Jesus. Poured it on his head. She didn't draw any attention to herself. She had one thing on her mind, and it was to give to Jesus. It wasn't about the money. She loved the Lord, and breaking this box and pouring all of it upon Jesus, she was making a statement without ever saying a word. What was she saying? She's saying, Lord, I love you. Lord, I am yours. Lord, you are worth more to me than anything in this world. And I've taken her whole life to save this up. And in breaking the box and pouring it upon the head of Jesus, she was saying, Lord, I'm not holding anything back. It's all for you. My life is for you. It's all for you. Without you, Lord, my life would be broken and empty. Here, take my life. Again, she's proclaiming without saying a word, Lord, I love you. All that I am is yours. She's proclaiming this without saying a word. Simply by her actions. Silent love. Point number two. Silent service. Look at verse 4 and 5. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Ain't that sad? But in spite of what others said or what they would have done, she served Jesus with all that she is. Some give some, but she gave all. Mary is showing us the love, the worship, and the service of a grateful heart. She truly loved the Lord. So what does she have to be thankful for? To be grateful for? Well, first and foremost, the Lord saved her soul, didn't He? He took a person deserving of hell and called her unto Himself and saved her soul. He radically transformed her life. Jesus also saved her brother Lazarus, her sister Martha. Christ raised her brother from the dead. No doubt she truly saw herself as unworthy for salvation, and she never got over the fact that Christ would die for her. That Christ would save her wretched soul, forgive her of all her sins. It was for many. Just like you and I, she had a past. So how do you know that? Because we all have past. No matter to what depths of sin you were in the eyes of men, in the eyes of God, you were lost and headed to a devil's hell and worthy of it. She had a past filled with sin and regrets, a past of living for self, sin, and Satan. She saw herself for who she was, a dirty, low-down, rotten sinner, saved by the grace of God. In Luke 7, 47, 48, Christ says this, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little was forgiven, the same loveth little. He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Why she loved so much? Because she understood how much she had been forgiven. She had a silent love that spoke volumes. She had a silent service, not a secret service. She was busy, but she wasn't bragging about what she was doing. Neither did she let these other people, these naysayers, influence her for a service to the Lord. You know, we can be easily influenced at times. Someone doesn't like what you're doing. And, you know, there are a lot of people today who are very opinionated. Amen. Think about what I heard about opinions. It says, everybody's usually got a couple of them. But they're usually like armpits. They stink. Don't let other people influence you on serving the Lord. And I mean in a bad way is what I mean there. Not in a bad way. Keep doing for Jesus what you're supposed to be doing. What I'm supposed to be doing. Whether the other people like it or not. So here, understand this. Not everybody understands where you're at. People view you from where they're at. For instance, if you get up at 5 o'clock each morning and you have your whole life, in your mind you'll be thinking, by 6 o'clock, everybody else ought to be up. Where are they at? Aren't you up? But you don't know what kind of night someone else had. You don't know what other people are dealing with. And the point I'm making is, be careful how you judge someone else's service to the Lord. We're different and God uses us all different. But no matter what we're doing, we should be doing it. Not to toot our own horn. Not to say, look at me, as we talked about this last week. But do what we do quietly for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Does she love her Lord? Oh, yeah. She loved Him. Point number three is screaming scoffers. Read verses 4 and 5 again. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. Against what she was doing for her Lord. We need to be careful that in our service to the Lord that we don't become holier than thou. Also, be careful that you don't yoke up with lost people who have a form of godliness, but are full of wrath and indignation. See, these here who were murmuring against her, they were not worshiping the Lord. They had become complacent in their service to the Lord, and for someone else to come in and serve Jesus like this brought conviction upon their own life. It showed them their own heart. How dare you do that? You're making me look bad. Those who aren't doing very much or nothing for the Lord would like to direct our steps. It's amazing how they have so much time to look and say how you should and shouldn't do stuff. To where if we were all serving the Lord from the heart, we'd be concerned about our own service to Him and not everybody else's. Also, from the abundance of the heart, what's the mouth do? See, she hadn't said a word, had she? She's just serving her Lord. But they had much that they wanted to say. These screaming scoffers were screaming what was on the inside of their hearts. They can't help but speak their mind. Even if it's wrong. What kind of problem do they have? It's a heart problem. Isaiah 29:13 says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Let's go to John chapter 12. Verse 12. chapter 12, verse 1 of John 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now where else did she put this ointment? Not just his feet, but where? What did Mark tell us? His head. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. And what's sad is what he said influenced other disciples. Judas was not saved, was he? Yet he influenced these other disciples. We gotta be real careful, folks. Not to become partners with other people's sins. He's a lost man, and some people quickly lined up with Judas. When a saved person is backslidden, they'll find themselves also lining up with a lost person. And the Bible says that they all murmured against her. All of them. Not all the disciples, but all that were with Judas. What does this mean? They murmured against her service. How could she serve Jesus like that? That's a waste. Her service is a waste. They cut against her with their teeth. They snorted at her with anger. They put down on her. They put down on her love for Jesus. And they put down on her service to Jesus. Why were they putting down her? Because they were trying to pick themselves up to make themselves feel better about themselves. They saw her service not only as a waste, but her service and her love in their eyes was worthless. Wow. Worthless. But look how Jesus saw it back in Mark 14. And Jesus said, let her alone. What did he do? He just rebuked them. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. A good work. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her. Jesus not only heard what they said, but he knew their hearts. And he also knew her heart, though she never spoke a word. Jesus knew her heart. He knows why we do what we do. Our labor is never in vain when it's in the Lord or for the Lord. Christ says the work that she was doing was a good work. Why was it a good work? Because it was being done for Jesus from her heart. Again, listen. She was not doing this to earn stripes. She was not trying to get a leg up on someone else. She was not trying to make a name for herself. She was simply doing this out of love. Look what Jesus says in verse 8. She hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. How are we doing, folks? In our service to the Lord. You know, what she did isn't what most other people would have done. But she did all she could do for Jesus. Why didn't she do any more? Because she gave her all. She gave her all. Do you think Jesus was appreciative for her love and for her service? Verse 9 leaves us no doubt. He says, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this offer that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." That's not why she was doing this. She wasn't there saying, "Oh Lord, tell them about me." Never her intent. But she humbled herself. The Bible tells us that when we are humble, that God exalts us. In the book of James. So it wasn't just the people in that room that knew about this. The whole world, from that day forward to today, until Christ comes back, wherever this gospel is preached at, knows about this lady. Knows about her service to the Lord. In spite of all those that were against her. Not just those inside the house. How about those outside? This was just less than a week before Christ would go to the cross. There were those, if you look at verses 1 and 2, the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. She not only poured out her life to Jesus, she was ready to give her life for Jesus. She had done what she could. Christ didn't kick her to the curb. Christ didn't rebuke her for doing what she was doing. They wanted him to do that, but he didn't. Instead, she left that day encouraged, edified, and energized in her service for the Lord. That's how she left. She didn't leave like that because of a pepper rally, or because of a preacher getting up saying, "Rah, rah, 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 here you go, go, go." No. Why did she have joy? Because she was serving her Lord and Savior. And listen, I can stand up here and tell you how good you are and all these things, but you'll still leave not encouraged, not edified, and not energized for His service if you're not doing what you're doing from your heart for the Lord. Where's our joy at? It's in the Lord. It's in serving Him. He told His disciples to have meat that you know not of. In John chapter 4. In our lives, when things get to the point where we are ready to throw in the towel, we really need to stop and examine our lives. It's okay, Lord. Am I serving You? Or have I become like these other people in the room here? All but one loved the Lord in that room, right? Have I become like them? Am I critical of other people's service because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Because my heart's not where it needs to be at. All that we do, we should be doing for the Lord. Lord, help us. What a great example He's given us. Mark 14 talks about she is anointing the head of Jesus. John 12 talks about her anointing the feet of Jesus. Do you know where it all starts? Amen. It starts in our hearts when we find ourselves at the feet of Jesus. Humble. Anointing His feet. Anointing His head here. What a service for the Lord. What a service. May look like a waste to others, but not in the eyes of God. Ain't God good?